This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
Well, if you would, turn in your Bibles back to our Old Testament reading for today, Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Again, that's Malachi 3, 1 through 4. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and as launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former years. Let's pray. Father, open to our hearts and our eyes to what you want to say to us this morning through this passage. Lord, it's your inspired word, so we know that it has something to say. So give us a heart to listen, ears to hear, so it will have effect inside of us and change us into the people you want us to be. And it's in Christ's name, amen. This chapter begins with the word behold, which is a word that tells us that the speaker, the Lord himself through Malachi, is giving a word of intention. This is a sort of like on all those World War II movies when the captain comes over the speaker, now hear this, now hear this. That's what this is. This is very like the words we use in today's parlance, as it were, check it out. This is something we need to pay attention to. And here's the reason for the bold announcement. At the end of Malachi chapter 2, the people of Israel were complaining about God, which of course was nothing unusual, that the Lord seemed to reward the evildoers. He was slack in bringing about justice to the world, at least so they said. God's answer to this is that he's getting ready to solve the problem by sending his Messiah. However, this event would be preceded by the Lord first acting to prepare the world for the Messiah's coming. The first word after the behold is I. This tells us who is doing the acting. Who is it? The Lord. The Lord himself. He's in this. He's the one who is taking care of business here. Nothing is going to stop it. And the event or the work to be done will be unmatched and unrivaled because of who, or rather, if we're going to be grammatically correct, of whom is doing it. The one acting is the great I Am. He's sending someone. He and only he is taking the initiative. What is he doing? He's sending. And what or who is he sending? He's sending a messenger. This messenger, the first one, is special. And he's going to be pure. How do we know? Because this messenger is his. The one he's sending is his messenger. This messenger isn't the property of an ad agency. This messenger is not a compensated spokesperson, as you see on all those insurance commercials. This messenger isn't a Hall of Fame baseball or basketball or football player. This messenger is not an Oscar winner. This messenger is his. And guess what? That's enough. This messenger belongs to the Lord. The one being sent is God's and God's alone. This is a personal touch here for us. Think of it. If we are called of the Lord, we need to ensure that we are definitely the Lord's servant. We need to make sure that the Lord is indeed sending us. As I've said too many times, this old phrase I heard a number of years ago, some are called and some are sent, and some they just got up and went. We need to make sure we are called and that we are sent. And we need to make sure who's doing the sending, and that it's not just an urge we had one day, I think I'll go do this. So now that we've established that this special person is a messenger sent only by the Lord, what is this messenger going to do? He will prepare the way for the Lord's coming. In an ancient royal procession, the messenger went before the king to announce his arrival, to indicate the route, and to remove any obstacles in the road. So this messenger did a really good job. Sort of like the Pathfinders in World War II and those big parachute drops like on D-Day. They had the Pathfinders go in first to clear the drop zones to make sure there were no obstacles or anything that would hinder the landing of the troops. And I remember in the Army when a dignitary was coming to visit our camp area, some general or political higher-up or whoever it was, we would have to prepare for this person's arrival by doing a thorough cleanup of the company or battalion area. All of the trash had to be picked up, and all of us soldiers had to do a complete cleanup of our barracks and our rooms. We were to clean like we were preparing for an inspection, which we were actually. Depending on how important this person was supposed to be, we even had to repaint the rocks in front of the company office to make sure they had a fresh coat of paint on there and would sparkle in the sunlight if the sun shined down on them. We had to look like we were ready for a visit from the president himself, or God himself, depending, making sure we not confuse the two. But what's important here is that the messenger who was coming would be preparing the world for the Lord's coming. What we know about this messenger is that the messenger was John the Baptist, and he fulfilled this precise ministry for Jesus. Isaiah 40, verses 3 through 5 tell us the same thing. So why did God prophesy the coming of this holy messenger through Malachi? One commentator says it's most likely because all of the people were complaining, again, that the messianic prophecies through Haggai and Zechariah hadn't been fulfilled yet. They were getting impatient. In these lines, Malachi is letting the world know that the way for the Messiah must be prepared, but the previous prophecies hadn't been fulfilled yet because the time wasn't ready yet. The time wasn't right yet. This time, the messenger prophesied he was heralding the coming of the Lord himself. The one for whose coming required preparation wasn't a new and improved version of a prophet. The one for whose arrival the messenger was preparing would be the Lord himself. What would this one being prepared, what was this one being prepared to do? The Lord himself would come to his temple as the same supreme fulfillment of the old covenant. He himself would institute a new covenant. Verse 2 begins, "But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears?" Malachi's audience said they would delight in the Lord's coming, or the day of the Lord, and would not be surprised. But let's take a closer look at that. But who can endure the day of his coming? The passage we've read so far speaks of two messengers to come, one to prepare the way for the Lord's coming, and one who will be the Lord himself, the messenger of the covenant. The coming that we mere mortals must endure is the coming of this messenger. But the passage makes reference to both of his appearances, the one he made then and the one that he's hinting about that has yet to come. One commentator says that like most Old Testament prophets, Malachi in his picture of the coming Christ mingled the two events together. As a personal note, the prophecies of Zechariah are like this. Zechariah 12, 10 and 11 says, "And I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me whom they have pierced, Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. In that day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem, like the mourning at Hadad Rimmon in the plains of Megiddo. This is chapter 12. But the previous chapters go back and forth from the prophecy of Jesus entering Jerusalem and his crucifixion and to his return in chapter 12. Now, let's look at the next lines. For he is like a refiner's fire and like a launderer's soap. What does this mean? It means he's got work to do. But what we see here about the Lord, our Messiah, is that this work is to cleanse and not to destroy. God takes no pleasure in heaping destruction on his creation and his people. As Walter Kaiser says in his commentary on Malachi, what fire did in separating slag from metal and soap did in separating dirt from clothes, God's cleansing action would do for his people. Only dirt and slag had anything to fear. Only the wicked should be frightened by the prospect of that day. Charles Spurgeon adds, if any of you are seeking the Lord at this time, I want you to understand what it means. You are seeking a fire which will test you and consume much which has been dear to you. We are not to expect Christ to come and save us in our sins. He will come and save us from our sins. Therefore, if you are enabled by faith to take Christ as Savior, remember that you take him as the purger and purifier, for it is from sin that he saves us. And the next lines say that he's sitting as a refiner and purifier of silver. Now, the sitting here doesn't mean he's just sitting around not caring about what happens. The sitting here indicates patience. He's actually sitting there doing the stirring of the pot, so to speak. And the famous preacher F.B. Meyer adds that if we're in the fire, don't freak out. We shouldn't despair or fear. If we're in the fire, it means that the Lord sees us as silver and gold that needs purifying, something worth purifying, precious to him in his sight. So if we are going through the fire in that purification process, let's rejoice. And you know why? It may not be pleasant, but what it means is that God sees us as something that's worth purifying. He sees us as precious. He sees us as gold and silver, precious metals. Now, the second messenger in today's Old Testament passage is the one whose entrance into our world we're getting ready to celebrate. But when we celebrate, let's remember that he came to save us and to purify us, not to leave us as dirt or an impurity to be burned off. So let's celebrate Jesus and have a heart of gratitude that he sees us, his children, as silver and gold and children that are worth the effort to purify. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.